Good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 26th of June, 2022, a Sunday class. We will be continuing our sharing on a new book. I have decided to change over the book to our latest printed copy. Lesson 71. Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Liang Yi Jing, dated 24 August 2021, means just last year. So instead of continuing with the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra series, we will break and we use this one first. For those who want to see the link, you can go to our Maikayamita site, Jinhao. Right, you know, just send out the copy. So I'll read to you. This lesson 71, Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, was dated 24 August 2021. So it was based on a direct transcript from the recording of the Dhamma talk conducted by me on 24 August 2021, which is about a year ago. So we will go to the content page. So as you can see from the content page, we have the preface, acknowledgement, then the Dhamma sharing proper, where we have our pre-puja, chanting and sharing, and we continue with our Dhamma sharing on section 3.2, awareness-based meditation. Then after that, followed by post-meditation Dhamma sharing. And sharing from this book, Essence of Infinite Meaning, where we move on to a number of topics. How to recognize unwholesome thought or defilements. Then there are five ways to overcome unwholesome thoughts. And how to break free or root out habitual tendency. Then the four right efforts to avoid all evil, cultivate wholesomeness. Then we have the other topic is to cultivate the sainthood way, followed by to cultivate the bodhisattva way. Then the next topic is our intrinsic Buddha nature and true nature, followed by samsara, karma, and affliction due to ignorance. Then finally, we have the section on meditation, reporting, and Q&A session. Then we have some subheading, feeling, pulsation, and vibration. Feeling the heartbeat, the chi, and the warmth. And question on cultivating daily mindfulness. And people being unhappy with life, career problem, life struggle, and depression. And see the purpose of life or in living life. And then finally, we end with the closing puja. Okay, now we will read through the biography. For those who may not know, my biography here in a concise manner is as follows. Bertil graduated from University of Malaya in civil engineering in the year 1971. He has been a spiritual practitioner cum meditator since 1971. And since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, so far about 21 years already. He has been sharing his understanding and experiences with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace, and liberation from birth and death, and all mental suffering. With this understanding, it is hope that they can become more virtuous, noble, and wiser. so that they can be a blessing to all. We are doing this Dhamma talk and host meditation classes and retreats and weekly Dhamma sessions at various meditation centers, Buddhist society, and places that invite him. For more detail on Brother Dhamma activity and his leadership grouping, please log on to his Dhamma website, brotio.com. Okay, next subtopic is preface. It is Brother sincere wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators will be able to make use of the enclosed Dhamma transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha's teaching or the Buddha Dharma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings, to be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on a transcript from the recording of the Lesson 71 of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Dhammakla, dated 24 August 2021, the text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. With this, it is hoped that readers can accordingly adjust themselves to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recording first before reading the transcript notes. To listen to a recording or the audio file, you can log on to our website, brotio.com website, under repository of Dhamma material, or Google Brotio's Kayanamita, a repository of Dhamma material to view them. Okay, then lastly is the acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that these Dhamma transcript notes be shared with those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayamita who had donated and helped out in one way or another in the transcription, formatting, proofreading, publishing, etc., to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Lim Hing Bi, Sister Sandra Chan, Sister Chiu Polian, Sister Li Siu Kei, and Sister Susan Tay for they had volunteered and taken the initiative to help prepare the initial draft transcript for my subsequent editing, therefore enabling this Dhamma transcript book to be printed. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and danger, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated to help or help in one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes or aspirations as soon as possible, with metta always. Okay. Lesson 71 of the Sutra of Implant Meaning, dated 24 August 2021. So there is a legend in front. You must pay attention to the legend. The words that are tied with the normal font without any underscoring or underlining, they are referring to my sharing, volunteer sharing, in order to expand on its deep meaning. Whereas those in italic and underline, this is to identify the original text of the reference book. Then lastly, the third category or last category are the one normal, the normal font, but underlined. This refer to sharing by Kyanamitas. So hopefully with that, we can make use of this book so that you can develop better understanding. Okay, greeting by Bertil. So I mentioned that today is 24th August 2021, Tuesday, and we will be continuing our sharing from this book on the essence of infinite meaning. Teachings from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 370. Let us compare our mind. Let us compose our mind and develop the Sada, Virya, and Siddhi to commence our puja chanting. And end of puja chanting. Okay. I think before we proceed with the actual sharing, we shall do our 45 minutes of awareness space meditation first. Okay, now I will off the light. Then you all can proceed with your awareness space meditation. Just relax body and mind completely and maintain awareness for as long as you can. Don't try to think, don't try to know, don't try to do anything, otherwise the thought will become active. Just relax body and mind completely and maintain awareness to be aware of whatever that arise, finish. This is to train your mind not to think, to develop more and more awareness. Then when you have stabilized it, you will realize your true mind, your meditative mind. And from there, you can make use of it to meditate, to awaken, to insight into phenomena, etc. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. You all can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation and try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to use to develop the meditation in the midst of life. We call it the daily mindfulness. Okay, you'll continue from our sharing, which is we are at page 3. So I have finished the introduction, the acknowledgement of this thing, and now we will read the legend. So the normal form, they are my sharing, virtual sharing. So in bracket, to expand on its deep meanings, there's the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. The sutras are not easy to understand, so you need to elaborate upon them. And there are also Q&A session and other type of session where I need to explain or expand on them. then the italic words that are underlined, this denotes the original text of the Wuliang Yijing, the copy that we use for our sharing, which is the written by the master Chen Yan Pasu or Ciji. Okay, then the last one is the normal form but underlined. These are the Kayanamitta sharing, sharing by Kayanamittas. Okay, I started by greeting everyone. So greeting by Bertil. So that day was, today is 24 August 2021, Tuesday. And we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Wuliang Yijing, Teachings from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We were at page 370, so that was the text that we were referring to. And I continue by, that one is the pre-puja. I said, let us compose our mind and develop the sadha, virya, and sati to commence the pre-puja, puja chanting. Then after that, we end our chanting session. And normally, we also have a half an hour of awareness-based meditation too. Then after that, we will start the Dhamma sharing. So now we will go to section 3.2, the Dhamma sharing part. Awareness-based meditation. So this type of meditation is very unique and very important. Most people do not really understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The Buddha teaches what we call heedfulness. In many places in his teaching, he emphasized the importance of heedfulness. And what is heedfulness? According to his Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23, heedfulness is most important because he said heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, and the heedless are as if dead. So this is very clear. If you cannot develop heedfulness, you don't stand a chance to become enlightened. To have the ability to become enlightened or awakened, you need heedfulness. That's why the Buddha continued after that. He said, if you know how to distinguish distinctly between heedlessness and heedfulness, if you are the wise one will intend on heedfulness. So when they intend on heedfulness, they will realize the enlightenment. Or according to the Dhammapada verse 22 is, they will rejoice in the rhyme of the Aryas. The Aryas are the enlightened beings. They will become one of them. And of course, Dhammapada verse 23 confirm what heedfulness is and how, if you are heedful, you are assured of enlightenment. He said, the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment of Nibbana in the here and the now. So this verse 23 clearly defines what heedfulness is. Heedfulness consists of two parts. To be heedful, you must first be ever mindful, then constantly meditative. If you cannot understand this, you cannot develop the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So ever mindful, the first part means you have to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, and stabilize it to be ever mindful. That is the first part. That's why we need to be aware. We need to develop the stability of awareness. That's why I always share with you all the meditation, which is awareness-based meditation, so that you can develop this awareness and stabilize it to make it ever mindful. Then when you are in that state of ever mindful, then you can use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is to develop the second part, which is constantly meditative or constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. Because according to the Fourth Noble Truth, the Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So this Noble Eightfold Path is what the meditation is all about. So awareness-based meditation is the only way to develop the understanding of the Buddha's teaching and to awaken to it. That's why you need to be heedful throughout the day. You need to be aware throughout the day. Okay, we go back to the sharing. With this explained, hopefully you all will understand why awareness-based meditation is very important. Because the problem we are seeing nowadays in the Buddhist fraternity or society is most of the meditation taught are thought-based. Hardly any is awareness-based. Of course, they use the word sometimes vipassana. But what is vipassana? People just define it without much understanding. Of course, we also know we is to insight into. We is the three universal characteristics of nature, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then we is, vipassana is to insight into that we, which is the three universal characteristics. So whatever meditation that can lead to that is called vipassana. But vipassana cannot be understood just by having a definition that is so loose. Because basically, if you develop some form of training of the mind, to have this heedfulness within, awareness within, then you can be ever mindful to develop the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path leading to heedfulness. Then you have the possibility or ability to awaken. That's why it's called awareness-based meditation. But if you use your thought to read the sutta and try to develop the so-called understanding. In fact, most people do that. Then they thought that is it. The learning of the teaching, pariyatti, the first phase of dhamma, which is not wrong. But that understanding is still knowledge-based, thought-based. So what is important is you cannot just use the thought process and read through it and develop the knowledge and expect to develop the clear understanding of the Buddha Dharma that the Buddha has taught. Then it defeats the purpose of why the Buddha say Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 on heedfulness is so important. So if you are not heedful, you cannot start technically. So that is what happened. So what they do instead, which is the most commonly developed way, is to use the thought process and develop the understanding of what the sutta is teaching. Read up the Tipitaka, the Dhamma books, or listen to sharing everything, which is the normal process, not bad. But then what happened is, they use that as knowledge and process it into a form of teaching. Then they come up with methods and technique with a series of instruction to do meditation. Instead of developing the understanding of what is heedfulness, to develop the heedful mind so that they can develop the true understanding of meditation. Like Huineng, the first hallmark is to realize no thought. That's why he takes you direct to the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, which is the ever mindful state of mind. When you understand, you will know without thought, you're already aware. So you don't have to train or try to be aware. You just silent, relax, maintain awareness, and stabilize it. That's why if you understand, the training is very easy, very simple, very direct. Otherwise, it's not easy. Yeah? So now I will go on with the sharing to read to you what we shared during that time. As usual, we will have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. We will turn off the light and we can proceed with our meditation. Just relax the body and mind and maintain some form of attention. Then we shall have another half an hour awareness meditation. Oh, sorry, this one is a repeat. Always remember, awareness-based meditation is to develop the awareness within. So we just silence our mind, relax the body and mind, then maintain awareness. Just do that. No need to know anything. No need to do anything. Make your mind alert, attentive, and aware. Just aware. Whatever arises, aware. Finish. No need to continue with the thinking or mental proliferation, stirring, or mental proliferation of the thought process. Just aware, silent. Aware, silent. To have more and more moments of awareness, then later on the awareness will become your main activity instead of thinking or chattering or verbalization. Meaning your mind is most of the time just aware, is already quiet. Heedful, no longer heedless. Whereas the mind is heedless, cannot be aware. It thinks a lot. It worries a lot. It has a lot of things to do. It always chatter, verbalize, and always planning, scheming, thinking, worrying. So much so, they never really truly be with the moment to live life, to be aware of what is going on in life, internally and externally. That's why thought-based meditation will make you heedless. Why? Because you create thinking, activity, thought. Means you are lost in thought. When you do that, what happens? You will be preoccupied with some form of thinking or activity. So man can only do one thing at a time. When you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you think, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your whatever daydreaming or scheming, planning, etc. Once you are in that heedless state, how can you be aware? How can you have the ability to understand what is going on within existence, life, internally, within your own form and mind, and externally? You can't. It's very obvious. If you cannot do that, how can you see things as they are? How can you insight into phenomena? How can you awaken? That's why to meditate is to have the silent mind, the awareness within, the stability of it. So this is very important. You have to train, stabilize it until your main activity is just silent with inner awareness. So when inner awareness become your main activity, then you are most of the time heedful, meaning your mind is most of the time just aware and mindful. Then whatever object of awareness, initially it can be your heartbeat or any other vibration within your heart area that you use to anchor your awareness, you can rest there. Later, when all this activity and movement have become very subtle and very still, then there is nothing for you to hold on to or anchor on to. During that time, you just stay around the heart area. Or if you are using your breathing, anapanasati, as your object of meditation, then stay with your anapanasati to develop the awareness of the in and out breath, meaning maintain the awareness. Just aware, like what the Buddha said. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Whenever the mind wanders off, bring it back and develop the training of your awareness until this breath becomes very subtle and very still. So it is the same whether you start with other object of meditation or you straight away start at your heart area or whatever you can, wherever you can place your awareness. You just stay there. Those who are familiar with the rising and the falling of the abdomen can also do the same. You can stay there at the abdomen and maintain awareness there. Those are the activities to allow you to anchor your mind, to allow the mind to stay there. But finally, ultimately, you must return to your heart. So if that is the case, you might as well go to the heart straight away. But for those who do anapanasati, you don't worry. Well, ultimately, the anapanasati will also take you down to the heart. Because the in-breath will take you down to your heart. And from the heart, it will develop the movement onward. So when you can stabilize your awareness, your mind will start to become different. You will have no thought or hardly any more thought. You are only aware. When you are aware, you cannot think. And because you don't think, you will be very quiet, very peaceful, and very still. That's why you can experience piti, sukha, and finally paucity, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, and the silent mind, where everything has become very quiet, very still, and very subtle. Don't do anything. Just stay at the heart area. Stay there. The mind will stay there without any movement of thought, nothing. Then let it stay there until the mind enters the deep. You must develop it until the awareness nature within is so stable, so clear, until like no more activity, no more thought movement, no more sankhara activity. Everything is very quiet, very still. That is your true mind. That is your meditative mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature within. That is how you realize your true mind. That is the one you need to realize, to develop the meditation. Without that, you cannot realize the first hallmark of Huining, which is Wu Nian, no thought. So Master Huining say you must realize the first hallmark of Wu Nian, the Jing Jian, means the ability to be in that state of total. 无念 in Mandarin means no thought or without thought. Inquire. This is a very important inquiry. Without thought, who are you? So if you don't inquire, you cannot understand. When you are in that state, find out for yourself, realize for yourself, without thought, who are you? The problem is most meditator cultivator cannot reach that state. So how can they find out? That's why they come up with a lot of concept, a lot of idea of what that thing is. And they never understand who are they? What are they? The Buddha already explained in his teaching the five aggregate of form and mind. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So don't try to be gullible and try to cling on to that form of mind, thinking that it's you. If it's dependent, originating, definitely it's impermanent. If it's impermanent, how can it be a permanent, unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold onto, and say, this is me, this is I? And because it is dependent, originating, it follows nature's law. It accord and flow. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. That's how the universal characteristic comes about. So, the purpose of the Buddha's teaching is to tell you clearly that if you meditate using awareness-based meditation, you can find out all this and realize it, not through a concept or a theory or a thought process. If you are really in that state, you go and find out yourself. You become completely different. Just that nature, no name, no word, nothing. That one is not a being, cannot come out to live like. You will understand all this. That's how you transform. Then this one, the nature, is very near to the thinking, the mundane mind, the thought process. Any curiosity or any conditioning from your past will start the thought process moving. That's why from there, it moves over to the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the egoic mind very fast. Then the other question is, when thought arises, who are you? You are the five aggregate of form and mind. Find out, what is this five aggregate of form and mind? Through that silence, that awareness, you will understand. Why the Buddha said the five aggregate are dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena with the universal characteristic. Insight into that, awaken to it. That's how you develop the understanding of who you are, what you are. If the five aggregate of form and mind is not you, then why did they arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? This is how you're supposed to inquire and develop the meditation. So when you inquire this way, you will understand the reality of this universe, this manifestation of the form and mind and the silent mind or the true mind, which is before the arising of all this. That's why I put here, you will understand when you reach that state. That's why the initial training to be aware is very important. Spend time on it, stabilize it, then you will progress in your meditation. Don't be too eager to know, too eager to progress, to find out whether you are doing it correctly or not, you have progressed or not. All these things will hinder you. That's why have faith, silent, be sincere, persevere. Yeah. And after that, I end the meditation. I say, okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. I will now set the alarm for 20 minutes so that you can have your 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Remember, this is awareness-based meditation, not thought-based meditation. So you have to develop the stability of awareness within. That's why today I want to make this awareness-based meditation very clear. At that time, I already explained this. And hopefully today's sharing can let you have that clear understanding. Then I continue. The four support for awareness-based meditation are very important. Allow your body and mind to be completely relaxed. Relax means don't do anything. Be at ease. Let things be. Whatever arrives, just away. Because you are relaxed, all your stress, your tension, and whatever tightness and unrelaxed part within your physical and mental, they will slowly adjust itself and reach a state of being at ease, meaning you are truly relaxed. When you are completely relaxed, it means there is nothing troubling you. Otherwise, you cannot be relaxed. Your mind can only be at peace when your physical body is without stress, without tension, when you are mentally peaceful, free, aware. So when the physical body is so relaxed that you are completely without any tension or any stress, that is the meditative body. That is the mind that can be aware because it is at ease. There is nothing to trouble the mind. You have nothing to attend to. You can just let things be. And the awareness nature is very important. That is your true mind, your inner nature, your true nature, your silent mind. So that awareness nature, you must stabilize it to realize it. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. Now then after that, we have the ting, like just now, end of the 30 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay, now we move on to 3.3. Post-meditation Dhamma sharing. You can now slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have for as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to use to live life and to develop the daily mindfulness or awareness to be aware throughout the day, leading to heedfulness. This is very important. Okay, then we move on to 3.3.1. Sharing from the essence of infinite meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. Okay, you can be seated. We shall continue from where we stop. We are at page 370 of the text. The essence of infinite meaning. The teaching is very beautiful because all these teachings are from the adapted verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. I will read on. So the underline in italic, this one denotes what the text actually, the text that we are using is written. So when you see this italic with the line, they are from the text. When we give rise to an unwholesome thought, that thought destroys the seeds of goodness. See, it's so powerful. One sentence, the meaning is so deep. As a cultivator, I explain, We must bear in mind this understanding, this sentence. That is why the Buddha's advice is to avoid all evil. When you give rise to an unwholesome thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, that thought will destroy the seed of all evil. Do you realize that? So be mindful of them. Similarly, the opposite is also true. Be mindful means what? Aware that these are unwholesome thoughts and become clear based on your mindfulness understanding that that thought can destroy the seeds of goodness. Then you are lost in thought, heedless. Then the evil root will make you evil, cause your coming downfall. So everything is set into motion. That's why it destroys the seed of goodness. You no longer can cultivate wholesomeness, develop merits, blessing, all those things gone. Then, like I said, similarly, the opposite is also true. The opposite means what? Like the text says, when you give rise to a wholesome thought, that thought destroys countless evil. See? The exact opposite and the great difference it means in cultivation. That's why you must constantly follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, not just avoid evil. Meaning not to give rise to any unwholesome thought, to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, and to purify your mind. This understanding is very important because the absence of evil is good. When you do not give rise to unwholesome thought, you will become beautiful. That's the reason why the Buddha taught us the four right efforts under the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. See, this is also from the text, the Noble Eightfold Path. He said, I explain, if you are not able to do that, then your heedlessness and habitual tendencies can cause you to arise the wrong, unwholesome, and heedless thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. When this happens, what must you do? You must be aware. You must have the awareness nature within to enable you to be aware of all these wrong thoughts. Also, you need to understand clearly what constitutes evil. Then I thought under 3.3.1.1, how to recognize unwholesome thought or wrong thought or defilements. What are unwholesome thought or defilements? Thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You must understand what these major evils of greed, hatred, and delusion are. You don't understand the deep meaning behind the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you cannot cultivate. You cannot develop the training to abandon them, because all precepts starts with the following verse. We undertake the training rule to abstain from whatever evil, whether killing, stealing, deceiving, committing sexual misconduct, or lying, or partake intoxicant, everything need mindfulness. So this training rule to abstain from all evil actions that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is a must. That's why without mindfulness, how can you develop this training? Without awareness or mindfulness, you cannot go, you cannot see, you cannot understand. You are too heedlessly thinking, heedlessly lost in thought, preoccupied with all the sensual experience that you come to experience at your sense door consciousness, your views, opinion, and conditioning. Habitual tendency continued to stir you, manipulate on you, and condition you into negativity and evil. Then we move on. How do we do that? We must be mindful, aware, and understand what constitutes evil. And when we have identified that, this is an unwholesome thought, a wrong thought that has the evil result, greed, hatred, and delusion. What must we do? We must arise the first right effort to abandon it. How do we abandon it? If you have gone through the roadmap that Sui has done for you, you will understand. That's why I go back and read out. So all these are very important. Basically, there are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. The most important one, of course, is the third and the fourth way, because they are the meditative approach. The first two ways are still thought-based cultivation, but they are suitable for normal people with certain type of negative tendencies. The Buddha said the first way is to apply the direct opposite wholesome thoughts to overcome whatever unwholesome thought that has arisen. Take for example, you have given rise to a selfish thought that has the evil result, greed, selfishness, possessiveness, and covetousness. So the direct opposite wholesome thought of generosity and sincerity are very important. When you are contented, when you are sincere, when you are generous and kind, you cannot be selfish, you cannot be greedy. So this should be developed as understanding. We must have the sincerity not to be selfish. To be sincere, generous, kind, gentle, and pleasant, all these are the virtuous thoughts needed to counter the unwholesome thought. So when you have anger or the angry thought, or the unwholesome thought of anger, hatred, envy, and jealousy, we must arise the opposite wholesome thought of love, compassion, and kindness to overcome them. Then the other one is, when there is cruelty in you, you must arise compassion. And if there is envy and jealousy, you must develop the sympathetic joy, mudita, to rejoice in the wholesomeness of others. This is how the four Brahma Vihara can also help you. Then the other one is, when you have lust or lustful thought, you must develop contentment, wisdom, and understanding. Otherwise, this thought cannot go away. It will continue to manifest. Then in the second way, the Buddha said, you must reflect on the danger of having such thought. That is the consequence of holding on to such wrong thought or unwholesome thought will make you evil, cause your karmic downfall. If that is not what you want, then you better abandon it. That's why the first two is still thought-based, but good for people who don't have the understanding. Yeah, so that when you reflect on all this, it can change you for the better. Then the third way, of course, is the meditative way. Whatever unwholesome thought or wrong thought that has arisen, they will have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Whether it is craving, desire, selfishness, anger, aversion, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, phobia, or whatever. All these are unwholesome thoughts with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that can cause you to stir your mind. They are making you evil. So all this is the training that you need to develop as understanding. The Buddha said, to abandon it, you just need to silence your mind. Like how we develop the awareness-based meditation. Don't do anything. Initially, just aware that they miss any of the negativity of my state or the unwholesome thought has already ever arisen, just like the Buddha said. Aware. Aware of what? When there is anger, greed, selfishness, aware. So the awareness is very important. The awareness of it will break the momentum for the unwholesome thought to continue its movement, to continue its manifestation. It's just like the Sabbasavak Sutta. Things that are unfit for attention, don't pay attention. If you pay attention, the Paticchasamuppada will take you to suffering, the suffering link. Of course, initially is craving, condition grasping, grasping, condition becoming. Then you take birth. From birth arises the whole mess of suffering. Every day, every moment, every instant when you are heedless, you are producing that type of activity. What will happen to you? Your destiny is already cast in stone. You will develop heedlessness leading to suffering, misery. Karmic-wise, your karmic nature will fall. Then you will get into big trouble. So what you have to do is you just silence everything and stay with that feeling or that emotion or that wrong thought, maybe fear or anger or hatred or anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. Just stay with it. Don't go and think about it. Don't try to solve it. Just stay with it. Silence everything and be with it, like aware. Let the emotion continue to move, but you just aware. So be with it is very important, like what Colin used to share and I used to share. It's just like when you are meditating, you are just aware of your anapanasati or object of meditation or your heartbeat or whatever object of meditation located within your body, your kaya, where you maintain your awareness. When it comes to defilement, wrong thought, unwholesome thought is the same. You allow your awareness to go to that unwholesome thought, to go there. Meaning the awareness and the emotion become one. Whether it's anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness, phobia, panic attack, or whatever mind state. Or whatever my state to be. Just stay with it, silent. Don't think and don't try to do anything. Stay with it. Just relax and maintain awareness. Then find out what happened. You will come to a very beautiful realization or insight. That is, whenever, sorry, that is, whatever mind state that has arisen or that arises, they are all dependent originating, where they are not intrinsic within your true mind. They arise because of wrong thought, wrong view, because you react to sense experience. You stir your mind. You create the evil roots, the wrong thought, via your delusion. When you silence everything and just stay with it, you realize it just sees. That is wisdom. Without doing anything, it sees. Why? Because that doing is by the thought. When you do, you are trying to analyze or reason and try to be right or find a solution. That's why the real meditation is not like that. You have to be aware and witness what happened. When you don't do anything, then it sees that realization is an insight. It's not a thought. It's not a thinking. That's why I say that is wisdom. So wisdom is an awakening, an understanding, born of insight, born of direct seeing, awakening. It's not through the thought process. So this ability to be aware is very important. That's why Krishnamurti say, according to Jaya Krishnamurti, the very flowering of that thought or that emotion is the very ending of that thought. So let it flower. Let it cease. Because these are negative energy, born of evil root, born of wrong view, born of mundane thinking, which are deluded. When you allow it to be and don't feed it with any more wrong thought energy, then what happens? That emotion will slowly flower and disappear or cease, as per J. Krishnamurti's explanation, like the flower. When you allow it to be, to flower until it cannot flower anymore, what will happen to the flower? It will wither and it will disappear. That's how thought ceases. Because they are dependent originating. The supporting condition no more. It cannot sustain itself. It will cease. That is what the condition world is all about. Dependent on condition, it arises. Dependent on condition, it ceases. So when you cut away the field for the cause, or the causes and condition for its arising, meaning no more wrong thought, no more wrong view, then the negative, unwholesome thought or emotion will cease. That's how you meditate. Not here, not there, focus, concentrate, and develop all the funny thought-based activity and movement. How do you develop the ability to have no more wrong thought and no more wrong view? If you have not trained your mind, you will surely think. Also, when you try to think, what are you doing? You are trying to reason or analyze. Then thought becomes active. Then it will not cease. This analyzing, analysis or reasoning will cause you to come out with your own version of right and wrong, good and bad. That is not the way to solve spiritual problem or develop spiritual understanding and awakening. The true understanding is you don't go and think. How can you stop all this thinking? To normal people, they can't. That's why our awareness-based meditation is the answer, the solution. But you have trained. That is why you must silence everything and be with it and allow this awareness to stay there. Then finally, everything will cease because no more thinking. Then this true mind, your silent mind, or your intrinsic true nature, which is your meditative mind, will arise or return. That is how you meditate. That is how you develop the wisdom. All these emotions, whether it is greed, hatred, or delusion, anger, fear, insecurity, envy, jealousy, phobia, whatever, they are all dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. If you do not feed upon it, and silence everything, if you do not feed upon it and silence everything, then without thought, what happens? Everything ceases. Then you will realize your true mind, your silent mind, your inner awareness nature. That is how you meditate. Then you realize anger was never you. Fear was never you. So why must you go and suppress the fear, the anger, and try to push it away or do away with the anger? All this doing a delusion. You are being deluded, gullible. When you have wisdom, it will cease on its own. You don't have to do anything. The abandoning of defilement is through wisdom alone, nothing else. When you straighten your view, silence your mind, then everything ceases. So this third way is for you to experience the true mind, the silent mind, the awareness within that has no duality because it does not think. And this is how you insight into phenomena and awaken, or through the direct seeing, the realization, which is the awakening, can happen. When it does not think, there is no thought. No thought means no duality. No duality means no good, no bad, no right, no wrong, no wholesome, no unwholesome, no pleasant and unpleasant, nothing, neutral. Just that nature, the way, everything else sees. Then you will realize the profound meaning of what the Buddha taught. Sabbe sankhara anicchang. Sabbe sankhara dukkhang. Sabbe dhamma anatta. Where all these are sankhara, mental activity, mental states, emotion, wholesome and unwholesome. And all sankhara are impermanent, anicchang. Because dependent on condition, they arise. When conditions cease to be, they cease to be. If you cling on to it, hold on to it, and give meaning, it will lead to suffering. Reason why the Buddha says, Sabbe sankhara dukkhang. It brings about suffering, misery, affliction. That is what the Dhamma is. Then finally, because it is impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can hold on to, cling on to, and grasp on to, and say, this anger is me, this hatred is me. There is no such thing. That is delusion, where you were never the anger or the fear. And when you realize that, you become so beautiful. If anger is not me, fear is not me, I don't have to do anything. Well, these are not intrinsic within my nature. So I don't have to suppress it, control it, or push it away, or do something about it. That is wisdom. That is the understanding. Then you will come to realize that the five aggregate of form and mind is not a permanent unchanging entity. Hence, non-self or not you. Exactly as explained by the Buddha in his teaching. That is, because this is impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity. Hence, non-self. And because it is non-self, it is empty. Empty nature or existence. It comes and it goes. Condition arising, cause of phenomena. So with this, hopefully, you all can understand. Then, by now, after my explanation, you will understand the deep meaning of why the Buddha always said, this is very profound, but most people cannot get it. The Buddha always said, told the disciple, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. When causes and conditions cease, it ceases to be. So it is just nature's condition, evolving and moving. And transforming. Only mighty nature rolling by, like what my teacher said. When you silence your mind to observe within and without, then you realize you don't have to do anything to understand the above. So that is how you develop the meditative wisdom through the third way. So hopefully with this understanding, you will not be gullible anymore. You will not go and verbalize, develop the gullible type of meditative training, which you call thought-based meditation or vipassana or whatever. Whatever that involves the thought, be careful. Thought has its usefulness, purpose, but you need to have wisdom. awakening, understanding before you can arise right on. So initially, don't try to be right. Don't try to become virtuous or whatever. Just cultivate. Develop the wisdom, the awakening. Then the moment you awaken, you are no longer deluded. Then delusion is rooted out. Then with the right view, right understanding, the right thought will manifest. Where the absence of evil is right, you are incapable of evil. But before you have the wisdom and the awakening, you can't. Because who is trying to be right? The thought, the ego. And what is this thought and ego? It doesn't understand. So it creates right and wrong to duality, right according to him. You look at the world. A lot of countries creating havoc because they have their own definition of right and wrong. Yeah. Especially you look at all the foreign policy about this country. Very funny. Rule based and all those things. Who define? They define. And right according to who? Wrong according to who? So all this you can understand. Eh? Okay, we go back to the sharing. So by now, hopefully, the third way, which is the meditative way, which is very, very profound and full of wisdom, can be clearly understood. So if after today you still cannot understand, I don't know how to teach you anymore. Then we move on to the fourth way. Okay, I quickly finish up this one. Then we will end. It's 5 o'clock already. Okay, the fourth way to overcome unwholesome thought or wrong thought. Yeah, these two are connected. Both are meditative. After that, you still need to cultivate the fourth way to develop the ultimate penetrative wisdom. The Buddha said through the fourth way, which is also the meditative way, you can trace the origination factor of the wrong thought. And retrospectively, via wisdom, reverse it to develop the ultimate understanding or wisdom. So that in future, when you confront the same sense experience or similar nature of sense experience, you are no longer deluded. You are no longer with the wrong view. You will not stir your mind anymore. The Buddha said, when you are silent and when you are mindful, you can investigate, observe, to trace the origination factor. Or recollect through memory, how did you get angry? How did fear arise in you? Then you will come to a very clear understanding that it is through one of your sense doors. Either when you see something or see somebody you don't like, or you hear something you don't like, or you recall through memory something very negative. It could be your phobia or scars of memory that triggers off. Then you realize at that moment, you stir your mind and develop the fear and the anger because of your wrong perception, born of wrong view. So you must reflect, contemplate on this to develop the understanding of why did you do that? Yes. This is a habitual tendency. Most of you will say that. Habit, man. How does it come and make you that way? The way you are. How come you are so conditioned to develop all this habitual tendency? I am like a robot, very mechanical in my reaction to what I see. I hear, I smell, I taste, I think, and tactile feel. That is mindfulness leading to Dhamma understanding. When you are mindful and aware of all this movement within life, then the fourth way trigger of understanding. And how does it come about? Through observation, through recollection, mindfulness. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to think, reason, or analyze. the thought is not active. The thought is just away. Assume you don't know anything. Assume the form and mind. You don't know anything. You want to find out. You want to investigate. Who are you? What are you? How come that form and mind behave that way? Before the wisdom arrive, before the understanding arrive, you are just the way you are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. So this is how you see, observe, and realize that thing is just the way it is. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Conditions are that. Things will be. That's why all this wisdom was surfaced. So the Buddha said, trace the origination factor. Now that you have traced it coming to one of your senses, you can then, via wisdom, retrospectively reverse it. Which means, why can't I accept the reality of the moment? That's why the Buddha says, see things as they are. Means see the reality, the truth, the isness of things, what is. That's why suchness, ta-ta-ta. Why can't you see things as they are? Like what the Buddha always said, things are just the way they are. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So if I understand this law of dependent origination, paticca sammuppada, then I will not have any more problem or doubt. Because everything is just the way it is. Condition arising, causal phenomenon. I react and stir my mind because I have wrong view. So how can I straighten my view so that I will not perceive him with negativity or the situation with negativity, so that I will not perceive whatever recollection through memory to arise the phobia? I must develop the wisdom, the right view, the understanding to be at peace at all moments, at every moment of sense experience. So to do that, you must reflect and contemplate on what the Buddha has taught us. He always says, learn to see things as they are, not the way you perceive it, not the way you are being conditioned into believing it. But that is from memory, which is wrong view. That is not wisdom. Before you become enlightened, you will perceive things wrongly. You will create all the wrong thinking and the wrong thought process that condition you to stir your mind, react to sense experience and entangle yourself to develop all the evil roots leading to all the coming negativity and affliction. And this is how the true Dhamma is to be understood. How can I see things as they are? I must develop the understanding, right? That's why to help cut short your training, your understanding, I straight away teach you all the wisdom that my nature has realized from my past cultivation. I always say, according to the Dhamma, every phenomenon has its universal characteristic of anicca, dukkha, anatta. The Buddha also said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So they are just the way they are. So if I can learn to see things as they are and people as they are, then I can accept all situations and all people for what they are, which means it is no longer about right and wrong. And that acceptance is not about I am agreeing with what they do. No. Acceptance here means accept them for what they are. Accept whatever that arises, that reality. Because at that moment, at that instant, the causes and conditions already fixed or decided. It must be this phenomenon, this arising, this reality that has arisen. That is, this phenomenon and happening that are there, they are there because of nature's law. So if I accept first, it means I can be at peace. Via my ability to see things as they are, I can accept the reality of the moment. I can accept what is. But it doesn't mean I can't or I don't act. After that, I can still act. So acceptance to wisdom and right understanding frees the mind immediately. Then I start to reflect and contemplate. Yeah, the Buddha is very wise. Why? Because he said, learn to see things as they are. So if I see things as they are, meaning I can see the world as it is, and I can see human beings, they are just the way they are, then I can be at peace to accept what is the reality. Then you will come. Sorry, then you all can also come to this profound realization as taught by me to you all. Angry people do angry things. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. They are just the way they are. Meaning, I don't condemn what they do. I don't even fear what they do. I don't even want to react or stir my mind because of what they do. I accept them for what they are. But I may not agree with what they do. Because what they do may be delusional. Born of wrong action that has the evil roots. That is how they will become what they are. So when I accept through this right view and right understanding, I can be at peace. Then I can act. Act with what? Act with wisdom, following Noble Eightfold Path. But that is the meditation as taught by the Buddha under the fourth Noble Truth teaching. The Buddha said, if you act according to Noble Eightfold Path, you are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path qualities. It will lead to the end of all suffering. So that is the answer. That is the wisdom. That is the way to live life. And that is the way to act. That is why you must have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path, starting with your right view, to accept the reality of the moment, to be at peace first. Then when you are at peace, you don't stir your mind, you don't get angry, you don't become emotional, you don't become fearful. Then you will have clarity of mind. Then you can act with wisdom and understanding. Then you will inquire, how can I resolve all this amicably? How can I move on? How can I avoid negativity? Meaning, resolve all this amicably so that nobody gets hurt, nobody gets affected. And what our society, like what our society used to say, develop a win-win situation that is free of negativity. So to resolve issue amicably, the only way is to follow Noble Eightfold Path. Because Noble Eightfold Path is the advice of the Buddha, which is basically incapable of negativity. It's just Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. When you have Noble Eightfold Path, you have the right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and right effort. Right Sati and Samadhi. There is no negativity at all. You are incapable of evil. This one leads to wisdom. That is how the Dhamma teaching can become very powerful, very effective, and it can solve every human problem. And it can lead you, and it can let you develop the understanding. Then when you can see things as they are, meaning you can accept the reality of the moment, you are always at peace, no matter where you are, under any circumstances or any condition or situation. You are always at peace with the wisdom. When you have the wisdom to come to terms with the reality, to see things as they are and accept the reality of the moment, that is the most beautiful Dhamma understanding that you can ever have. Okay, we stop here. What is this page?
17.
Okay, we will stop here. Oh, yes, good. Then the next topic is also very interesting. How to break or root out habitual tendency. This is the part where most people find it very difficult to understand. Okay, before I open up for our second session, maybe I would like to make an announcement. Next week, Tuesday onward, I'll be going to Singapore to be with some of the Singapore Dharma friends. And also, I attend to the thing that I need to attend to while in Singapore. Then the whole week, Tuesday class, Thursday class, and the following Sunday class, they will be cancelled. That is temporarily. We will not have the classes. Because Tuesday, Thursday, I wouldn't be around. Then Sunday, Jin Hao and my daughter still not back yet. So our class will start after that. It's the following Tuesday. Okay, so now we will open up for Q&A, question and answer, or meditation reporting.
Mito for to Brother Jesus and all Kayamitas. This sharing is very beautiful. It's a meditation and how we develop the sati, leading to skillfulness. This is this is very profound for people that have difficulty doing it. Just like me, when I started off, I also do not understand what is sati, mindfulness. But truly, doing what Brother Teo said, relax the four
support.
The four support. Yeah. The relax, silent your mind. Just aware, and then let it
trust.
Stabilize. Let it stabilize your awareness. This awareness really need to be stabilized before you can move on to the next. If you are not patient, you cannot get it. It's your patience.
You have to be very patient and yet have the understanding. Otherwise,
correct. So first have the understanding, like what Brother Teo said. Then after that, it's really patient. If you don't have patience, you rush into it. You cannot. Get it done. So
the thought is very active.
Correct. So how I do it, I mean now I think of it in hindsight. You see, in our daily activities, we really have to develop patience, just like our daily activity, right? We do things right, we rush, we cannot get things done properly.
Correct.
So your mind will be very agitated.
Then
your mind will be agitated also.
Yes. Then when you are mindful and aware, you realize you are more efficient.
Correct.
So, and you can solve things very fast. There is nothing to hinder you, to make you like fearful, worried, excited. No, you are very at ease, mindful, peaceful. Then with the clarity, everything become like very clear to you and you can resolve it. Now, one by one, you realize you don't have much problem in life. You don't have any not like before. Worry about it, worry about that. No more. Thing is just the way it is. Meant to be will be. You accept and you move. And you do what you have to do. Resolve it amicably. Do what you need to do. That is the Dhamma way. Don't go against nature. Don't go against the Dhamma way. Then everything will just beautifully unfold. Sadhu.
Yes, Brother Teo. That is exactly what we have to train our mind in the daily activities. So in the daily activities, we can train it together with the formal meditation. That will help you a lot. Otherwise, when you go into sitting in your formal meditation, you cannot get it. You just cannot do it. You have to do it.
During the day, you are not mindful. You are not aware. You cannot settle down. That's why when you go into the formal, most people have problem. They need the method, the technique, meditation object to anchor the mind, then force it to be quiet and all those things. All these are what we call thought-based approach, following all the instruction without understanding. When you have the understanding, the awareness come in is so different. But like I explained, very, very few people can do that because they can't even have a moment of silence or just aware within the moment. They can't. They think a lot. Their thoughts are so active. They are so heedlessly lost in thought. So all this, if you are mindful, you are aware, you can see. That's why you have this, what they call, the Hokkien or you call in the living being. Means you feel pity for them because they are so deluded, heedless. They don't know what is happening. They cannot even have a moment of peace within. That's why they are so stressed up, agitated. Then they rush a lot of things, worry. That's how you build up your stress. Why can't you be at peace? Have the awareness to be with the moment. Then with that clarity and understanding, just do what you have to do. And you will not need to think that much. Actually, hardly think. You just most of the time aware, understand, rejoice, develop inner peace, inner joy, inner happiness, the mindfulness, the awareness, keep on moving. That is what a heedful cultivator will become. When you are aware, mindful, and heedful, you become very quiet. You have that tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, your awareness is always there. You are hardly lost in thought. Most of the time, you are peaceful. You are beautiful. So this is the benefits of developing the correct understanding of the meditative training taught by the Buddha to train our mind to be aware, leading to stability or awareness, ever mindful, constantly meditative. Then you develop heedfulness. When you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. It's guaranteed. Yeah, you continue for
this training of the mind on the sati and heedfulness, it is how you call that so important that we cannot neglect.
Cannot neglect
in our daily life,
Your entire life and existence.
Yes,
if you don't take care of that, you become heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. Enlightenment in the here and the now, the spiritual life is gone. That's why heedfulness is very important, you like it or not. Now you start to understand why I always hinted to you all in the past. Unless you can be mindful in the midst of life to develop the daily mindfulness, have the stability of it, you have not developed the real meditation as taught by the Buddha. In fact, when you are able to be mindful in the midst of life, then only the true meditation take on. Before that, it's just the normal thought-based meditation. The awareness-based meditation cannot really sing it.
Yes, Bratio. I'm very thankful to Bratio that you consistently remind us about this sati and heedfulness in our daily life. Because we are so involved in our so-called other activities in the life and take away our attention. We always give reason, and excuses for not doing what we should do,
on a daily basis.
Emphasizing the importance time and again, up in time, although I know Boratio, Kayamitas, especially the old students of old student, but students that have been with Brother Teo for a long time, will hear it again and again, oftentimes, the important is so how you call that? I mean, it is of utmost important. I mean, if you don't emphasize it enough, I think the normal human brain or the thought will
they will miss it. They will
miss it, and they will not.
They cannot see the importance of it. Not until you see the importance of all this, you will not wake up one. You will not be very serious about cultivation, meditation, and life. Because to me, it involves my whole existence understanding. You know? If I don't have this understanding, I myself don't come as a living being. Come here to suffer for what? That's why this is most important. That's why in the year 1971, I make the affirmation, the determination to go this way. Yeah, this is most important to me. Other thing is not important. If I cannot understand this teaching, this Dhamma, then I cannot understand life. Then I will fall, I will fail. Then my whole existence is gone. This is not what I want. What I want is the understanding that will transform my nature. That every life I come with this understanding. That will make me beautiful. That's why life becomes wonderful, amazing, meaningful. Otherwise, you come here full of suffering, misery, fear, worry, and every day, like they say, hit the wall, jump back, long pia, hurt yourself, create so much karmic negativity. Then, every now and then, don't know what is going on. Gong gong, toa gong gong, jia gong gong, see everything as a gong, and deluded healers. So human being alone, because of coming, they end up healers, and they do a lot of wrong things. That's why their life becomes so miserable. In fact, there are a lot of living beings, especially human beings, who are so less fortunate because they don't know this teaching. They don't have this teaching. So each and every one of us, I always say, your life, you decide how you want to live it. You hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy or to be miserable is entirely your choice. So choose wisely.
Yes, Brother Teo, we have to choose wisely and give attention to this cultivation that fits for attention that Brother Teo always mentioned. For attention, we have to be very serious about it and not forget about it. And like Brother Teo said, I mean, this life is our only chance, to cultivate.
Because the sasana is there, the most beautiful window. After this is gone, I tell you, the window closes off and it's going to be long, long period of what they call non-sasana. And that one will be very, very difficult, very miserable. If without the sasana, how will you expect to develop the understanding of all this? With the sasana now also so difficult, people find it so difficult. What if there is no sasana? And without this understanding, even sasana you come, you still cannot meet up with the wise and develop this understanding. That's why to have affinity with great beings, with cultivator of the way, to have true kayanamita, to be part of your cultivation, is not easy. That's why you must take the vow, the Bodhisattva vow, follow the yellow card, make the aspiration, develop all those understandings so that you are like home. Because after this life, after you have developed this affirmation and understanding, your future is all taken care of. Because with that bodhisattva vow, you vow to have this right view, right understanding, life after life, whenever you choose to come or you have to come, and then you have the understanding of how to break the coming obstruction. Then you know how to determine not to repeat all this. Then follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate sincerely with faith and persevere. Then you cultivate affinity with all the great beings. You develop all the additional vow, the miscellaneous vow. So all this will make you beautiful.
Yes, Bharatio, that reminds me, Bharatio, that when you mentioned about taking the vows and develop affinity and able to learn all this, right? This
right understanding.
Right understanding of the bodhisattva vows, you know. Actually, we cannot like last minute go and...
Cannot.
You have to last minute do it. And, yes. You know, the reason I say that is because when you face... I mean, at normal times when you are happy or things are smooth, you need to learn it first.
Because when times
are bad, when times are difficult or you are facing some problem, you know, health problem or whatever life situation problem, you got no time to understand and learn anymore.
You cannot...
You cannot, how you say that, you cannot respond to it appropriately and correctly, you know. So without the prior understanding of, you know, all these Dhamma, you cannot respond accordingly in the right way, you know, with the right view, right understanding. You cannot. Last minute, you cannot do it, you know, you just cannot. So we are in a way very fortunate that we learn it as early as possible. I mean that's why I vow in this life
I will
have to learn it as early as possible. So
I really salute
those Kayamitas that are still young learning this Dhamma understanding as soon as possible, because it's really good to learn as soon as possible, as early as possible. So you can make use of the understanding to live your life accordingly, according to the Dhamma way, you know,
correct.
Not needlessly, anyhow, you know, hit out and, you know, like what you call that, lucky draw, you know, sometimes sometimes you don't feel, you know, that kind of thing. So
correct.
Having the understanding, you at least you can improve on it, you know, over time, you know, as you cultivate, you improve on it, you know.
How to do things
in a better way, you know, you refine and perfect your wholesomeness, you know, your action, you know. Yeah, so your life will be better and better in that way, because you are doing it accordingly.
That's how you grow in your cultivation, the spiritual life.
Yeah.
If you don't have this understanding and affirmation to actually determine strongly to cultivate and to sincerely persevere, there is no way. That's why that faith, that sadha virya, that will push the cultivator to really go all out to develop all this understanding. And when you start to cultivate this based on the advice of the Buddha, you keep on growing, you keep on transforming, your life change for the better. That's why without this Dhamma, normal living being will encounter a lot of karmic problem. Then this karmic negativity will bring about their downfall, condition, their suffering, misery. And all this, you have to pay back. Living being doesn't understand that. The more negativity you create, the more you have to pay back. You reap what you sow, because we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. We need to take care of karma. We cannot neglect karma. We need to train ourselves, be mindful, be heedful, so that we can avoid all evil, keep the precept, cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, following the advice of the Buddha. then develop the purification of mind, awareness-based training, to straighten and reveal, to develop the right understanding, to walk the spiritual path, the Dhamma way. Mm-hmm. So all this, you have to determine to develop the understanding, to cultivate sincerely, and to persevere, to push yourself strongly, life after life. Yeah,
Pujan,
you can
okay.
Continue.
Yeah. Very good. Actually, you just now, early on, also mentioned about the good and bad intention. Is it something like
that?
Good and bad action. Good and bad actually is according to who, you know. That is very important question to ask.
Yes.
Because we always argue, not say argue, like sometimes, people, I mean, even in family, we will have our different views and opinion, right?
So they hold on to their personal views and belief system. Then they end up arguing, not resolving problems. Because when you don't have the understanding, you tend to argue, you tend to reason, you tend to analyze, then hit out. This is not the way of the teaching. The teaching is Noble Eightfold Path, having right view to accept the reality, then from there, resolve whatever amicably through one, right thought, right speech, right action, and the four right effort, and have mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. That's why Sati Samadhi is very important. Unless you have the Noble Eightfold Path factors, the embodiment of it, you cannot have the understanding and the spiritual life. Because this Noble Eightfold Path is the embodiment of what the teaching is all about. So if you cultivate it, you hold on to it, then you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. Then you become beautiful. You are incapable of evil. So all this understanding is why the Dhamma is so beautiful, so wonderful.
Yes, Bharatiya, you see, the thing is, ordinary people, you know, do not have this cultivation, right? So they learn the Dhamma, so they will argue, they will reason. Actually, I wouldn't say argue, but reason and analyze, and then tell you this is good, this is bad. So they tell you this is good and bad. So good intention, good karma, no bad intention, bad karma. They will tell you reason this way. But the question, I mean, to me, I mean, of course, I understand in the sense that from the Dhamma way, I mean, right according to who, you know. Everybody has their own way of right, is it? Right,
correct,
according
correct.
To individual, is it? But actually, none of them is actually right, right, you know.
Yeah, because it is based on their individual views of right and wrong, which is not based on nature's truth. So when it's right according to the individual, it's a relative truth, is not a ultimate truth. So this relative truth has got no meaning. That's why I always said, before a being become enlightened, there is no right and wrong. Where the right and wrong is not the true one. So right and wrong, according to the individual, to me has no meaning. Like I always said, your truth, my truth, not important. Well, these are our individual perceived truth. What is more important is nature's truth. You have the Dhamma, you have the understanding. Then you will understand nature's truth. When you understand nature's truth, then you stand above duality. Then you will see that thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things we learn at nature's law, every moment, every instant, it is in the state of balance. That's why the Buddha called it tatata, suchness. Yeah. Because every moment, every instant, truth manifests. It all follow nature's movement and condition. So think is just the way it is. It's only the way we perceive it, whether you have wisdom or not. Without wisdom, you will perceive it with your own negativity, your own gullible, heedless thinking. So all this will create conflict, misunderstanding, negativity of karma and all those things. So not easy. For normal human being, it's not easy. But as cultivator, yes, we are very blessed because this Buddhist teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, is so wonderful, so amazing. When you understand it, you can apply it. Then you understand life. When you understand life, you will know how to live life. Then you will know how to evolve for the better, transform for the better. And it will change you profoundly. Character-wise, personality-wise, wisdom-wise, you transform. Then your life take a turn and you become beautiful. That is what Dhamma is all about. Not about right and wrong. Not to go and argue. Not to follow who. To investigate into truth. To develop awareness and mindfulness to realize the truth. To understand clearly who you are, what you are, then to observe and to awaken to insight into phenomena. Otherwise, you will not change. Living being is very, very conditioned and rigid, delusion. Before they awaken, they have all these problems with them. They cling on to a lot of things, hold on to a lot of things based on their own view, their delusion.
Yes, thank you, Brother Teo, for this extended sharing on this, you know, because it is really important for me also, you know, to revise and understand clearly, you know, this. Because recently I heard about somebody telling another person about this right good and bad intention. Then I was thinking, I mean, I didn't want to say anything because it is a very sensitive thing to talk about. Especially when you don't have the Dhamma understanding, it can lead to argument and then how you call that? Instead of helping, it becomes a negative karma.
It becomes a misunderstanding. It becomes conflict.
Yes.
That's why Krishnamurti used the word thought divide. When you have this egoic mind that create thought divide through what? Through words, through concept, through duality, through views and opinion and conditioning. That's why the danger of thought, you must see it. Without wisdom, you cannot understand the danger of thought. Because thought is capable of creating all this conflict, misunderstanding, war. All come from thought. Because through the thought, it creates duality, it creates words, concept, views, opinion, and conditioning. So all this, even belief system, all come from thought. That's why you carry all these. They are very divisive. Even one word, race, nationality, divide you already. Then everybody argue, fight. That's why you have racial problem, racial discrimination. Then you have all the shooting even in the United States and now today Norway and many areas. And all this war, conflict, misery, suffering come from what? Human mind that don't have the understanding. And everyone protecting their own interests. That's why the world order, the new order, all this that come from thought will not bring forth peace. They can talk unipolar, multipolar, all of those things. End of the day is the collective human consciousness. When they are so much more deluded, than the wise one. So it's very difficult to have order. That's why you see all over the world a lot of so-called war, conflict, racial riots, and division within their own country, community. Everywhere you have this thought-based warfare, argument, conflict, misunderstanding. In fact, the Americans also now very thorough, the Republican and the Democrat, or even abortion also become such a great issue. And after so many shooting and horror scene, they still arguing over what law to regulate, what to allow and what not to allow. And the way they talk, I tell you, is really frightening. So all this you can witness and observe to understand. That's why when we are mindful, aware, we see all this. But like you mentioned just now, you see it coming, that's why you don't want to get involved. Otherwise, it's not easy. But when you have the Dhamma developed and stabilized, you can handle all this. You can come to terms with all this. Then you can be at peace with all this. You just let things be, unless there is condition to do something. Otherwise, no point, just let things be. The thing is just the way it is. It has to be that way. It's that way. That's why everything just manifests and evolve, unfold. So as you cultivate, as you develop more and more understanding, you will witness and see more and more things. Then the understanding, the awakening, the insight, the wisdom, they start to grow. And they grow in a very different way because we no longer analyze and reason. We observe, we silent, we develop understanding, we have mindfulness, we have awareness. That awareness makes us sensitive. We can feel, we can sense the totality of consciousness. We can be sensitive to so many things that the human mind cannot touch. That's why awareness, there is meditation, and the cultivator that has the awareness, they are so different. Their mind is so different. Their nature is so different. They cannot be entangled anymore. Cannot really. But they can still live within the world. And they can understand the world is the world. The form and mind is the form and mind. The nature is the nature. The understanding of this understanding. So all this, they will fit in, fall into place and become very beautiful. That's why we can really develop the understanding to live life to the fullest. To experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life and existence. So all these are possible. So we have to really develop the understanding, then determine to have those understandings so that whenever we come, our nature is beautiful. So that we can actually do what we want to do. Okay?
Yes, Brother Teo, thank you very much for the sharing, you know, in more depth. Brother Teo, I want to share about something that I experienced in the midst of life. I was walking along the road, actually, stretch of road. I was going to a temple, actually. Okay, so on the way to, I mean, I took a bus, and then from the bus stop, I walked a stretch of road. The stretch of road, Brother, is not level. So it is like a slope, like there's slope up and down on the road. So I can see a distance along the road, you know. And as I walk at the junction, I see some beautiful lights in the sky. Because it's in the evening. It's the evening. Oh. Okay, the I can relate now to you because I've seen it, it's already in the past, right? So, so I see the light, the orangey light, because the sunset is coming, you know, the sunset is coming. So as it was at the I can see part of it, but not the whole of it. So I as I crossed the junction, I was able to see more of it, you know. So when I see that, right, Bertil, something happened, you know.
Oh, like, what happened?
I went into the silent mind, you know.
Wow, Sadhu.
I went into the silent mind, and then it just awareness of it, right? And then and the thing is, I know it's the silent mind because, you know, when I come out of it, Bertil, I kind of like the so-called consciousness of the hearing, I kind of lost my hearing consciousness, you know. When I come out of it, I know that suddenly, how come so noisy, you know, Bertil?
Yeah,
you know. So Bertil, I realized that I went into the silent mind, you know.
Yeah.
I went into the silent mind. So so I come out, I realize, how come so noisy and I'm here, you know. So I was the realization that I'm in the silent mind to see what is in front of me, right? And when I come out of it, then the hearing become the noise become suddenly so noisy. So I know that was in the silent mind in that period of time that I was there. So it was like, so joyful that I suddenly realized that, you know. So
Because the external, they call it the conscious moment. That one is the superficial consciousness, where the mundane mind level, they call it the conscious level, the conscious mind. So the conscious mind is normally most of the time just aware and outside. Then when you allow the conscious mind to be what it is, then that consciousness becomes very loud, very loud. But when you are aware within, the awareness within is different. The awareness within is a nature that is aware. That it can be aware of many, many things. It depends on how your awareness manifests. Whether it's spacious awareness or specific phenomenal awareness. But when it's from inner out, then that thing is like, everything is like inner flow, specific phenomenal awareness. Then everything is like in that state within your awareness nature. Then you are different. That's why last time I remember this monk, Ajahn Jagaro, I remember he described it very well. He was also a very good monk. He said, in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. That is the meaning. Inside the nature is still. Activity is everywhere. Outside, the form and mind, everything. Then in the midst of sound, there can be silence. Silent within. You understand? That's why what you experience is your nature went in the silent nature. Then after that, when you release it out, it come out, and suddenly you hear the sound. Then you know there are two nature. One is the inner awareness nature. The other one is the conscious mind, the mundane mind, that experience, that movement. So when you see the difference, then you start to understand the beauty of awareness-based meditation. It has that capability that normal human being cannot. Well, normal human being, sometimes they cannot take what they call stress created by society. That's why they say noise pollution, sound pollution. They complain here and there. Then they say, why so noisy? They want to go back to the countryside. They want to go back to nature and all those things. That is what the mundane mind will actually do. That movement, they are always active. Whereas when you are aware and silent, the wisdom part that manifests is different. When you are with the awareness, you are not with the conscious mind. But the conscious mind can manifest on its own. But the awareness that is aware of it is different. So this is how you develop more and more understanding through mindfulness in daily life. So what you are experiencing is just that split moment of like sudden change in shift. I call it the shift of consciousness. But more important is you have to stabilize the mindfulness, the awareness in the midst of life to be here for it. Then that movement is not just that drastic shift for you to see and to develop some form of understanding. But when the mindfulness has become very stable and it has stabilized until it's more or less continuous throughout the day, then you see different things again. Your awareness becomes different again. There are a lot of very subtle mental state and intention or department. You start to be aware. In the past, you cannot be aware. Then all these subtle things that actually is still not rooted out, you start to see. Then you start to be aware of all this very subtle, what they call, defilement, but very subtle. Because it's like hardly visible. Normal people cannot. But because we have developed the sensitivity, the training, and the mindfulness, we can reach another level of refinement of daily mindfulness. That's why your daily mindfulness, when mind enters the sati, when there is a continuity or continuous flow of daily mindfulness, which is very stable, then you start to see things differently, understand things differently. Then that mind becomes very sensitive, transformed. Then it can see and understand a lot of things. It can become very sensitive. So that is how you move on. Okay? So what you experience is good. But later on, you need to move on to the stability of daily mindfulness to see the movement, the transformation. Then all this understanding about the nature and the conscious mind, you become more and more clear. More and more clear. Then you can like understand it so well until you can even describe it and explain to people that these are possible. But all this you say is like very weird to them. It's like they never heard before. But they never experienced before. They don't know what this thing is. Like even just now, the sudden shift that you mentioned, normal people cannot understand. They will, of course, have doubt and say, can happen, man? Because they never experienced it. They only experience the conscious mind, the thinking, the thought process. Okay?
Yes, Puchang? Thank you, Bratio. Yeah. Actually, Bratio, after that, I continue, right? I continue to walk and my mind enters sati, right? The thing is, when I look at the time, right, I say, I got time to go and pay respect to the Sakyamuni Buddha, right? My heart suddenly, just the thought of it, right, my heart open up, you know. So my heart open up, I reached the temple, right, the shrine hall, right? You know, Brother Teo, I feel the stillness, and then the heart become more and more the heart open up. I can see the heart opening, you know. My intention wasn't like that, you know, because I'm just aware of it, but I just continue with my paying respect. I just do my ohao, you know. Ohao. And then I at the same time, I'm aware of the heart opening, you know. I know it's very different from, this is the first time I experienced this, Labrador. I didn't really I just aware, but I didn't do anything about it. I just aware and then do my forehead. And then after that, I just say, okay, I don't know why this thought come out, I'm full, you know. Then I say, I the thought just appear, huh? I'm full. I mean, I do not know why the thought just came out.
Never mind, it's okay.
And then after that, I just pay my respect, very happy, you know, that I got the opportunity to do it. And then after that, I just go on with my activity,
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, I mean, it's just a continuous thing that happened this way, Brother Teo, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just unfold in this manner, you know. Yes.
Okay.
That I was full of joy, the heart opened up, my heart opening up, and then I pay my respect. And after that, I don't know how to say this, but it just like I relax into it and I settle down, you know. And I'm aware of what happened. That's it, you know. Yeah. So but I really feel the affinity with the great being, Brother. It is like it never happened to me before, and I mean, I also hardly had this opportunity to go to the shrine there, you know, in the first place. Because I don't really have the opportunity to go there. And after the pandemic over, you know, it's like the first time I get to a chance to go and do it. And I just feel that I need to go and do it. And then after that, it just happened that way, you know. So I just had this faith that the affinity is with the great being, you know, Brother. So it was like a very good experience to me, that I never experienced before. You know, that one thing leads to another, you know. So that's why I'm saying the development of sati, you know, is very important, you know.
Very amazing.
So it can be very amazing. So it can unfold one thing into another.
What happened to you is very likely because of your faith, and there is condition. Your faith is very strong and the condition manifests. Then when you move in that direction, the awareness actually help you. Then you experience the shift. Then later on, when you are inside or nearby, the heart open up. All this is because you have affinity with that great being and your faith is very strong and it can happen. But all these are part and parcel of cultivation, the way. That's why I say you must not get excited and become complacent. Continue to evolve it, to develop the mindfulness, the awareness, the strength. Whatever you experience, it will bring forth the understanding later. Well, initially, it's not stable yet. So based on what you explain is you have the condition to move into all this means the affinity, the faith, and all those things. Then, when it manifests, it's like you are experiencing glimpses of all these things. But all this has not stabilized. But later on, as it stabilizes, it will evolve differently. And then your understanding becomes more complete. Then you can come to understand why all this can happen. Why are all this possible? Then you will understand more and more of that nature, the silent mind. Even though you say it's open up, then at one stage you say it's full. It's full is because at the moment, at this moment of you, your nature hasn't evolved and developed until it can take in. Well, it's very fast. Saturated already full, it cannot take anymore. So that you eat some food, foolery, you cannot go in already. It's because your nature can only take up to that. So later on, you will also come to know, because I also explained to Brother Song there early on, that initially that nature's energy from all these great beings, which exist, sometimes they come, they are very strong. We can't take it because at that time we haven't developed it. Then as the cultivation continue over the years, as you develop, then later on you realize it starts to become very different. Even though it continue to open up, like I used to say, the front and the back, everything, then it not only can draw then it can take it in a very different way. Then after that, later on, your nature will read it out for people to draw. So all this can manifest. That's why you are going through this space of glimpses of all this because of your faith and the combination of affinity. So sadhu to you, but do not be complacent, I say. Continue to cultivate, continue to develop the mindfulness, the stability of the daily mindfulness. Then relax and maintain awareness and stabilize that nature until it becomes very, very stable. Then it will continue to move, continue to grow. There are a lot of movement, a lot is unending, it's a lot. Okay, Pachai?
Thank you, Brother Teo. Yes, it's very beautiful because, like you said, I'm learning part and part of it, you know, we still have a lot more to learn and a long journey to go,
Lot more things that can happen. But what you are going through is the glimpses of what are possible, which happen because of your faith and your affinity and the condition fall into place. Your affinity with all this great being. That's why all this can happen. But do not be excited and be complacent, because once you develop the excitement and the complacent, then you neglect it. That's why I realize a lot of people fail to progress after that, because they thought they have got it. But this is only the glimpses, the thing that you experience while you are moving into this field, which is a big field behind. A lot more to go. Okay.
I agree, Brother Teo. With your guidance, it really helped me tremendously to cultivate accordingly, you know, along the right path. Thank you, Brother Teo. Kan
en. No problem.
Sadhu.
We have to end. Let us rejoice with a good sharing. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.